that there were more, thank you, there were more Baptist men in Alabama than everywhere else in the United States put together. So we applaud our Baptist men, and we do have ladies that help with this too. So you have envelopes in the back of the pews, and if you will just drop that in the box where you put your tithes and offerings each Sunday out right outside these doors. Our goal for this year is $2,000. And that's actually supposed to end by next Sunday, but we are going to extend it for a couple of more weeks just because we haven't talked it up yet. So we just beg of you to give to this. This supports close home right here because we do have a mission camp here in Shelby. So this will be one way you can help out with the disaster from Hurricane Sally. So thank you for that. Now if you'll stand and we'll sing our call to worship, page 448, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Please stand and we'll sing all three verses.
Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well. It's good to see you here this morning. Just a few things. Trey, could you do me a favor? Could you put the slide up for the return? It was in the announcement slides. This week, many of us are in a time of prayer. This is actually during a feast, the Feast of Trumpets, that are going on with in Israel. In the Jewish religion, leading up to the Day of Atonement, which is the day that the high priest would take and make a sacrifice for the entire nation of Israel. And this is the day that he would go before God in the Holy of Holies and present the sacrifice to him there. But we, having Jesus as our high priest, had the sacrifice made once and for all for our sins. And having done so, the moment Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, allowing us access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. But during this time, we are being called as Christians, as a nation, to come and humble ourselves before God. So many of us in these next 10 days have given themselves over to prayer, praying for our nation, praying for ourselves, praying that we would return to God. Next Saturday, I believe starting next Friday night, actually, the return is going to be held in Washington, D.C., and we are going to simulcast that here at our church. Anybody that would like to come and listen to the speakers and spend time in prayer during this event, we will be here and we'll have more information about that coming up. Look on our Facebook page. Also look for emails that are coming out about this return. But we will be simulcasting the event here Friday night and Saturday here at our church. So please join us for that. But as we go in for a time of prayer right now, I do want you to pray for Marcus McGill and his wife and little Jameson. Marcus is the pastor at Ross Grove Baptist Church. That's where Terry's Pendleton's parents attend. And Jameson just had surgery a week ago. And he is having some difficulties. He has had a brain bleed. He has had some seizures. His kidneys are failing, and he's having to go through dialysis. So we need to remember Jameson in our prayers. And we need to remember Marcus and his wife as they are going through this time, and they're there with Jameson. We're getting daily updates, and all they're asking is for us to continue to pray, that God needs to intervene, and they're putting his faith, for whatever reason this is going on, their faith is in Jesus Christ and in God. So as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, as we pray for our country, as we pray for our church, please, as I lead in prayer, pray for little Jameson this morning. Now let's pray. Yes. Lisa's mom and dad, remember them in prayer this morning also. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, we come humbly bowing before your throne, thanking you and blessing you and praising you for the fact that we can come into your presence because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life that we have through him. And dear Lord, as we come before your throne, we lay little Jameson at your feet. Dear Lord, words cannot help . They may provide a small amount of comfort. But dear Lord, healing is in your hands. We ask you that you touch little Jameson right now. Make him whole again, dear Lord. We thank you for Marcus and Brittany's faith that they have in you, that you will take care of their son, that you will take care of them. But dear Lord, we just ask you that you just fill them with peace. Let them feel your presence. Dear Lord, guide the doctors as they continue to work on little Jameson. And thank you for the miracle that we see in him already. And dear Lord, we lift up Lisa's mom and dad to you right now. Dear Lord, so many of us have parents that are getting older, that are dealing with health concerns, and it's not easy. But I ask you to work in those situations. Dear Lord, we thank you for the fact that Mr. Joe is back with us today. I ask you to continue to strengthen his body, that you take away the blood clots that are affecting him and you allow him to regain his strength, dear Lord. And dear Lord, I thank you for the ones that are continuing to improve. We lift Joan up to you this morning as she is still dealing with COVID, that you will continue to strengthen her, that you will protect the rest of the family. And dear Lord, I ask you, as we are being called to a time of prayer for our country, dear Lord, that we as Christians, those that are called by your name, that we will humble ourselves and pray. Dear Lord, we must return to you. We must reignite the fire that has been lit in us, that we cannot be hid, that we will be your ambassadors here on earth. And we ask your forgiveness as we have so miserably failed in that capacity. But dear Lord, I ask you that as we go through this service, that everything that is said, everything that is sung will not be just a routine. That you will take over this service and that your Holy Spirit will move us to our very core. That when we leave this place, that we will know that we have been in the house of God and that we have been in your presence. And above all, dear Lord, if there is someone here this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, don't let them leave today without having taken care of that, dear Lord. Let us have the opportunity to introduce them to the only one that can ultimately change their lives. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I have another announcement to make. This has been up for much debate over the past 11 years that I have been here, but I am happy to announce that Nell Buff will be turning 100 years old on Tuesday. You can go ahead and clap. I mean, that's amazing. And yes, ladies, I do have permission to say that. Because that was the first thing that I asked. I said, do I have her permission? Because, you know, some women get upset when you start talking their age. But when you get to be 100 years old, that's something to brag about. That is amazing. And even though she cannot be here with us, I'm going to ask Sandra if she can come up here. You don't have to. We can do this Acapulco. Okay. I know, Michaela. Okay, but I'm going to ask Sandra if she can lead us in singing Happy Birthday to Nell. She will get a copy of this service on DVD, and so she will be able to hear it. And I encourage all of you that have her information and contact, send her a birthday wish, 100 years old. And to my recollection, talking to Ann, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first time that we've actually had someone turn 100 years old here with our church. So that is incredible. So, huh? No, I may look it, but that's just because I deal with youth pastors. So Sandra, if you wouldn't mind leading us.
Let's stand as we sing Happy Birthday to Miss Nail. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nail. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
All right, so I'm going to come up here for my children's sermon. After I made that remark to Artie, it might be my last one. I don't know. But I want to talk about something this morning, and I would like to ask Presley and Isabel to come help me for a minute, if they don't mind. Come over here and help me, girls. They were the closest to the front. That's why I picked them. So, all right, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to hold this, still this way. And I need you to, I'm going to open this, and I want you to pour water in this until it gets to that one cup mark right there, okay? Keep pouring. Why? I said to the cup, keep pouring. What's going on?
There ain't no more.
There's, all right, so what does that mean? There wasn't enough water in here. There wasn't enough water. All right, sit down for a minute, girls, and I'm gonna talk about that a little more. I asked them to pour one cup of water in here, and there was 8 ounces in this bottle, but they didn't know. I went and poured some out before I got in here, because when they started pouring it, they would see that there's not enough. Not enough is something I want to talk about, because all over, especially if you... This is not just for kids, this is for everybody. If you get on social media, there's a lot of talk about enough. What is enough? Well, I am thankful. Sorry, I'm a little overwhelmed with the Spirit this morning. I'm kind of jittery. I've been like that all morning. But we don't have to be enough. Here's the thing. We can try. We're like that 6 ounces of water trying to fill up an 8 ounce, one cup measuring cup. We're never going to be enough. But thankfully, Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for our sins, and He was enough for us. Isn't that awesome? I think that's so awesome that Jesus Christ came and He died for us. So it doesn't matter what, there's nothing we can do to be not enough. And there's nothing we can't do that will get us out of that with Jesus. If we have that relationship with Jesus, and I do apologize, I'm very jittery this morning for some reason. But Jesus Christ came and He is enough for us. And that is what I wanted to share with the kids, and I wanted to share with each and every one of us in here today to remember that when you go out into the world, when we go out and do what we're doing, the world's going to tell us to try your best. Do your best. Give it all you got. Be all that you can be. But guess what? No matter how much we give, no matter how much we can be, no matter what our best is never going to measure up. But Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins, for each and every one of us. So we don't have to measure up. He measured up for us. And I'm just so thankful for that. And as we close in prayer, we're going to talk about it a little more in the fellowship hall. I want the kids to line up at the back door as I finish praying. Wait a minute, girls. As I finish praying, we're going to pray first, okay? Let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank You for this day. Thank You for loving us. And Lord, help us to remember as we go out into the world that we don't have to measure up. We don't have to be enough because Your Son was enough for all of us. God, we love You and we praise You. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Today is one of those days that it's going to be a service that is one of the most difficult things for a pastor to do. And I'm going to share what that is here in a second. But if you would go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 19. You see the title of the sermon is Let the Rocks Cry Out. So we're going to read about that. So if you turn to Luke chapter 19, we're going to start looking in verse 37. And if you would stand as I read this. Starting in verse 37, this is what it says. And as he was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees and the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered and said, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with us today. Thank you for saying and the ability that you have to make the stones cry out. And dear Lord, I pray that we will never have to have the stones cry out because we have become silent. Bless this time. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. What I meant about one of the most difficult things for a pastor to do is that is keep my mouth shut. So some of you, I don't know how I feel about that. Some of you guys sort of laughed and some of you didn't. But it is, it's one of the most difficult things for a pastor to do is to stay quiet and let the redeemed of the Lord praise his name. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do just that. I've asked Bruce Bridges if he would come and share a word of testimony. And after Bruce is done, if there's anybody else that would like to share what God is doing or has done in your life, this is your opportunity to do so today. Because with what's going on in our world today, we need to know that God is alive and well. And what better way of knowing that than the ones, or from the voices of the one that he has saved. So, Bruce.
Well, after his introduction there, I don't know, sure, maybe he's calling me a rock. I'm not sure exactly what his thoughts are. Maybe he's squeezing the rock to see if he can get anything out of it today. But he asked me, and I could never give up an opportunity to praise my Lord. So, tell my story. I think it applies to a lot of people. And I think it really applies to where we're at in our world today. So I'm open in prayer here. Lord, come before you today with a repentant heart. I ask that you'd forgive me for wanting to break through my way, wanting to do things my way. I can't tell you when to move. My job is to believe that you can and that you will according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of verses I wanted to share here. that I think apply to some of the situations that are going on, and they definitely have applied to my life. So first one is Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then this one, I've abused it, and I think a lot of other people have abused it. But I want to carry it a little bit further today. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans you have for you. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And everybody wants to stop right there. Hey, that's great. That is a fantastic verse. But if you read a little bit further, there are some stipulations there to what he's promising. Verse 12, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. We want to skip that second part. And I've been pretty notorious to do that a lot throughout my life. So telling my story, where do you start? Kind of start at the beginning. I guess most important decision I ever made, and decision that I hope and pray every other person will come to the reality that it's part of what they need. Little 8-year-old kid, we just had a new pastor, and his focus was evangelism. And listened to his messages for several weeks, felt this tugging in my heart, and, I don't want to go to hell. You know, I need this. And so 8-year-old, I go down front, talk to the pastor. We talk about being a sinner. I get it, you know. How many banks do you have to rob to be a bank robber? One. How many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? One. Good. So I'm off on my way. I'm happy I've got my fire insurance now. Everything's good. So, yes, I had a drug problem at this point. I was being drugged to church regularly. Sitting in Sunday school every Sunday, listening to all these wonderful Bible stories. But somehow, and I wanted to blame it on the church, and the more I thought about that, the more I understood it. It wasn't that. It was me. But somehow I didn't figure out how those applied to my life. They were great stories. But it doesn't really apply to me. Got convicted on that because the other day I was thinking about all the people that I've taught in Sunday school and how a lot of them seem to have drifted away. But how could I condemn them for something I did? So moving forward, my plan grew up on the farm. My plan was to be a successful farmer and, thought I had it made, thought I had it all figured out. It was my plan. We was going to do it my way. Things were going great. And a young lady came along in school that I was interested in dating and started to ask her out. And she said, I can't date you because you don't exhibit any thoughts of being a Christian. Well, wait a minute. I got saved when I was 8. Why? So it was a wake-up call for me. So we had been dating and we were thinking about getting married, and everything seemed to be going good. And went to college, got a business degree, knew that I was going to be the greatest ever at this. And 3 years in a row, God wiped everything out. So I went through a period of pouting and being angry with God. And why have you done this to me? You know, what's going on? You know, I trusted you, and I'm trying to be this great Christian, and this is how you reward me, you know. So have to go out and find a job, find a good job. Had a great boss. Time moves on. Things kind of not going that great. So I'm like, God, what are you trying to do here? So then get an opportunity to buy out the guys that were running the store that I was working at. And, you know, here I am, 30 years old. I own my own business. Man, I got this. I'm on top of the world. I'm doing, you know, this is it. I've got it. I can be a Christian. I can do all the things that he wants me to do. And God said, uh-uh, this is not it. I'm like, okay. So about this time, incident that definitely changed my life, news comes on and we've had a mass shooting in a high school. And everybody around me has been talking about for months before that how we need godly men in society. Didn't really register in my mind. But after looking at that event, I realized he wanted me to go into the schools and try to be his ambassador. God, I don't know. I can't do that. I don't know how. Nobody will hire me. I don't have any experience. But somehow I wound up with a job without ever having a job interview. You know, I was a C student at best, finished my graduate work with a straight A average. It's God. So go to school, scared to death. First day, I'll never remember, I passed a sign that says, you know, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. So I knew I'm where I need to be. And zipping along every morning, I'm praying like crazy going in, praying all day. God, I can't do it. What do I do? But after 15 years of that, I felt pretty good, you know. I got this. It's all good. I didn't need to pray anymore. Man, I can do it. So, 15 years into that, a little spot shows up on my leg. And I'm out here in the fellowship hall. And my wife's been on my case about going to the doctor. And I'm like, I'll go. And nurse was sitting there and she said, show her that spot. She needs to look at that. And her words are pretty prophetic. She says, you better go to the doctor. They're going to have to cut your leg off. Okay, I'll go. So go to the doctor. Turns out, big C word. Brings me to my knees. Reminds me that it's his plan, not mine. And if I don't rely on him every day, he might get my attention. So there's a story in the Bible that kind of parallels with this. And I think it applies to a lot of situations that are happening around us today. Guy named Naaman. He was king. He was a great guy, but he had a problem. He had leprosy. And he went to Elisha asking for healing. He knew that Elisha, you know, had a connection with God, and he wanted to go ask for healing. Now, his plan was that Elisha was going to walk out, wave his hands over him, and leprosy was going to go. But instead, Elijah simply instructed his messenger to give Naaman a set of directions. Naaman was to wash in the Jordan River 7 times and be cleansed. Well, he didn't want to hear that. Sounds familiar. He thought his healing was supposed happened another way. He thought he could tell God how to heal him. Nevertheless, Naaman was not crazy. He sucked it up, quit fussing, went to the Jordan River to wash and be healed. Afterwards, he was glad he did follow the prophet's directions. It's important to trust God, trust his process. He knows what's best for us because he created us. Now, I've heard a lot of people do it recently, and I continue to hear a lot of that. I know how to fix the things that are going on around us. If we can elect this person, it'll be solved. If we just had this happening, you know, everything would be good. It's not our plan, folks. And there's nothing that we can do except put our faith and trust in him, turn to him, turn from our wicked ways, seek his face. And when we do that, he has a plan. And I'm looking forward to see his plan be carried out. So thank y'all for listening. And hope that somebody gets a message out of that.
Thank you, Bruce. Sometimes people... they think Christians have it all together. But I want to tell you something. The world doesn't need to see people that have it all together. They need to see people who are struggling with life, turning it all over to Jesus Christ and letting God take care of it. That's what the world needs to see. So don't think that you have to have it all together to share your story. I'm up here preaching every Sunday and I don't have it all together. But thank God I serve a God who has it all together. Is there anybody else that would like to share a word of testimony? You can come here to do it, or I can come to you with the mic. Is there anybody else that would like to share a word of testimony?
For those who don't know me, I am Kayla Lee, and I didn't know I would be speaking today until Artie gave the chance to. I'm shaking right now because I've never spoken publicly. I'm kind of improvising right now, so. But I feel that I should really admit my sins because that's something that God wants us to do. He wants us to admit. He wants us to believe in him with our heart and soul. And, yeah. And so I'm going to admit what I've done. So sixth grade year, it was pretty bad. I didn't think I fit in. I did bad things. It was horrible. It was a mess. And I, gradually realized that, things were going downhill when I didn't put my heart into believing Jesus. And it was pretty bad. I turned away from God, and that wasn't a good thing. Things went downhill, and yeah, it was bad. But as time went on, I realized that, I became more religious, and I realized that when I put my trust and beliefs in him, things got gradually better. And so I soon found a verse that really spoke out to me, Romans 8:18. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he'll reveal to us later, which really spoke out to me because, what we're suffering now, corona, quarantine, and much more, all the drama that's on Facebook and social media. There's so much more in the future that's going to come. But what I know is that God is going to be there, and we're going to make it to heaven if we put our heart and, if we trust him with our heart and soul. That's all.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, guys, what Kayla said and what Bruce said is the truth. It's not about what we want. It's not about getting our way. It's not about pushing forward to get things the way we want it. The problems that we are having in our world today are because we have changed what we want to hear from God. We don't read the Bible. The Bible's not preached. The Bible's not taught because it doesn't go along with what's being socially accepted now. But you know, I think it's funny that the Bible warns about that. God warns us about changing what He says to make us feel comfortable. He tells us about churches that have given up their first love and have become lukewarm. Church, it's time that we stop trying to change what the Bible says to match what we want. And it's time for us to change what we want to match what the Bible says. And so as we enter this time of prayer over these next 10 days, I earnestly and wholeheartedly ask you, take this opportunity to get one-on-one with God. Get alone with Him. And ask Him to draw you closer to Him. To change your life from the inside out. Doesn't mean that you're going to be the most popular person in the world. And in some cases, you may not even be the most popular person in your own house. But if God is for us, who can stand against us? We need people across the world that puts God on the front burner and makes Him number one in their life. As Kayla said, doesn't mean it's all going to fix right away. But it's amazing how much easier life gets when God's going through it with you. I know that we have many people in our congregation that are hurting and in some cases feel all alone. I have been there myself. But I will tell you this, that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're never alone. So as Sandra comes and plays, we're going to start our time of prayer. Our altars are open. If you want to come and just kneel and pray, do it. If you want to go talk to somebody and get something off your chest, do it. If you need to come talk to me, or if you need to talk to one of the deacons, or you need to talk to somebody about knowing Jesus Christ, it doesn't have to be me. But do it. Don't let this chance pass you by.
I was sitting back there and trying to be one of those preachers being quiet. But I've got to share something with you that the Lord's laid on my heart. I am really, really, really burdened and concerned about our country and the state of our churches. Let me tell you why I'm concerned. With our mission work, we see God at work, and we're privileged to be a part of that in other places in the world. God's pouring out His Spirit across this world. And yet, I look at our churches here. I'm speaking at a pastor's conference tomorrow in a neighboring association. And I looked at the statistics because I used to work for the Baptist State Convention. I've got access to some of that information. And in this association, 50% of the enrollment in the churches of that association, they're not in church. 25% of the enrollment is in Bible study in Sunday school. And here we are saying we are a Christian nation. Then on the other hand, I look at, we are in a partnership ministry in India. Let me tell you what's just taken place. There are 706 unengaged, unreached people groups in Southern Asia. There's no Christian influence there. But I'm happy to report that 238 of those, of that 706, now have churches that have been established. But out of those 238 churches since COVID, the virus hit in India, have come 30,000 professions of faith. 30,000, not just professing, but 30,000 people who have been baptized. Many of them Hindus, following the Hinduism faith. Many of them former Muslims. And I don't know if you realize it, but for them to acknowledge that they are now a Christian means they may lose their families, they will be disinherited. It also means they may even lose their lives. But they found what it really means to accept Jesus Christ. You know the number one thing they want is a Bible. So we're trying to raise funds for Bibles for them. But the point I'm trying to make here is, folks, when people are coming to know the Lord, realizing that they may be giving their very lives, and people here in our churches don't even see the need to go to church, but they got their name on the church roll. Bruce, you hit the nail on the head. They thought they purchased fire insurance. But when we really come to know the Lord, we don't like to talk about this either. But you're going to suffer. You're going to do without. You're going to face persecution. And it's time that we as the church realize that and quit pretending that it's otherwise. But what God's wanting to call is men, women, boys, and girls. Kayla, man, I love you for what you did. That's what being a church is all about. So young people like that can have the opportunity and feel the need and blessed with Christian parents. That's what being a church is all about. We got to get back to it, folks. Business as usual is not going to cut it anymore. Business as usual has got us where we are today. And God's trying to get our attention. And if he doesn't get our attention here in this country, he's going to pour out his grace on other countries. Do you know there are more Christians in China now than there are in the United States? It's time we quit playing and we get serious. And you know where it starts? Not with somebody leading a revival. It starts with each of us being willing to fall on our face before God and saying, God, I need you. And I have failed you. if I keep going, I'm going to wind up preaching, so I'm going to stop. But friends, in this church right here, we've got a loving church family. But we've only scratched the surface of what God wants us to be. And we got to quit looking to somebody else to make it happen. It's got to be with each of us. Confessing the sin that exists in all of our lives, turning our back on that, and looking to God to see how He can use us. For He will when we do that. Let's pray. God, I think I speak on behalf of every one of us. We're burdened. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know, Lord, that yes, I fail you. But Lord, I thank you for your grace. But Lord, the fact of the matter is we've stepped all over your grace. Our focus has become more about what we want than what you want. And we get so busy trying to do church that we fail to be the church. A church that loves one another and has a burden for others who don't know you. I was thinking this morning getting ready for church, and I thought back to some instances in which through all of my inadequacy that you use me to share your word with someone else. And I remember the joy in my heart as I was able to shout, "Devil, we took one from you today." God help us. Help us, dear God, as a church and as individuals to someday be able to look a brother and sister in the eye and rejoice with them that they're there and they're not in hell. Lord, burden us. Help us to be the church you would have us to be. For it's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. It's in your name, God, that we ask this prayer. Amen.